Welcome back to Amazing Grace here on Coast Access Radio.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Hello and welcome to Amazing Grace for another day. I pray you'll be blessed by today's program. My name is Warren, and if you have a comment or maybe you'd like to say something about some of the things that I've shared, or maybe you'd like to ask a question. We actually have had a few people that have asked questions in the past, maybe a Bible question about something I've shared, or maybe you've got a subject that you're not sure on and you'd just like some clarification, or you'd like to at least hear my point of view on it, on the Bible. If you do that, we'd be happy to answer that either on air, if that's how you would like us to do it. And most people have actually asked us to email them back. We'll also be happy to pray for you or someone close or dear to you. So you can contact us in a couple of ways. And the first way is by email, or you can also contact the station. Or, excuse me, you can contact us by email on 999amazinggrace@gmail.com. That's 999amazinggrace, and Amazing Grace is only 1G, @gmail.com. Or you can text or call us on 027-229-6624. That's 027-229-6624. All right, friends, before we go any further, let's just pause and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to share with the people in the Manawatu and the surrounding districts, and just pray for our listeners and their families, and pray, Lord, that you would speak through me. Pray for a blessing for each listener today, asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to have a look at, in our devotional time, we're going to look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, especially the verses that talk where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. And maybe just easier for me to read through it just to start with. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. There's only a few passages there. Seven verses. Okay, so Nicodemus met with Jesus one night. He didn't want to be seen in public with Jesus. Nicodemus was in the Sanhedrin. As it says, he was a Pharisee and a leader. And he didn't want to be seen with Jesus because the word might get back to the other people in the Sanhedrin. So he wanted to just have an interview with Jesus. And so he starts off by saying, I know you from God. Because of the signs that you do. But how does Jesus respond to that? It's rather unusual, actually. Jesus actually doesn't even really deal with what Nicodemus has said to him, but he says something rather unusual. He says, I tell you the truth, unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, here was Nicodemus was sort of flattering and saying that, yes, Jesus, we know that you're from God. And he was probably going to get into talking about things to do with what Jesus was doing in his ministry and ask him questions. However, Jesus knew the shortcoming that Nicodemus had. Okay, so he said that you must be born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? In fact, Nicodemus, at least outwardly, didn't seem to know what Jesus was talking about. Because he says, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? So this time Jesus repeats what he said before, but this time he says it with a little bit more information. And in verse 5, Jesus says, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. You see, no one gets to heaven, and yet many people are seeking for knowledge. No one gets to heaven because of knowledge. How do you get to heaven? You're born baptized, and you are born of the Spirit. Okay, so how is one born of the Spirit? It's through repentance and through a commitment to God on a daily basis, inviting the Holy Spirit into your life and seeking Jesus. Let me just go on a little bit and read the next verse in verse 6. Jesus says, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So, nobody can become spiritual, which we need to be, because Jesus said that unless we are spiritual, we cannot make it into the kingdom of God. So just by getting rid of a few bad habits, maybe going to church, maybe putting some money in the offering, serving, I don't know, in a position in the church. See, none of that will save anybody. You see, that is a response to have been born of the Spirit. And many people do not understand this, that we don't do good things in order to get to heaven. Okay? We do good things because we are grateful, so grateful and thankful for what God has done for us. We want to do good. We want to repay him because we love him so much because of what he's done for us. You see, that was a problem with the church in Jesus' day. It was really only formalism, and to a great degree, the Bible says in Revelation 3 about the time that we're living in, the church of Laodicea, is very much the same. From the outside, the church looks great, but very few people are converted. And this is what Jesus was trying to talk to Nicodemus about. He said, unless you are born of the Spirit, you know, it means far more that just on what you do on the weekend at church. You know, you may have a wonderful time. You may have a wonderful time at church, and you may feel very spiritual while you're at church. But you see, friends, it's what happens at home that is the most important part. It's what you do with God during the week. It is walking with him each and every day. And it is allowing the Spirit to control your life. It is submitting And I love the verse that probably is one of the greatest verses to describe all of this. And it's in Galatians 2:20. And it says, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And he lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me and gave himself to me." You see, that's the gospel. The gospel is Christ living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's being born again. You see, we cannot understand spiritual things unless we have the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it makes no sense to us. In fact, you know, the Bible says that the story of the cross is foolishness to those people who are perishing, but to us, it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, spiritual things are spiritually understood. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand anything spiritual. And yet our churches are full of people. Well, I shouldn't say full. That's sort of being a little unfair. But our churches have a great deal of people in them who are not spiritual. And yet we must be spiritual. Now, you might say, well, okay, so how do I do this? Well, first, we need to confess our shortcomings, our sins, each and every day. And it's good to do it at the start of the day. And then it is to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our life for that day, to surrender our life to him and ask the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell in us. You know, there's another beautiful verse in Colossians 1:27 says, "It's Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, if Jesus Christ does not dwell in you, then you are not spiritual. I don't care what you do and where do you go to church and how many jobs you do, how much money you put on the offering plate, unless you have Christ dwelling in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what we need. We need that here in New Zealand, here in Palmerston North, like nothing else. We need this reformation. Just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Friends, we need to seek the Holy Spirit like we've never sought him before. We need to commit our lives to Jesus each and every day. And so I pray that today that you will do that.
Kind and faithful friends, the gift.
You're listening to Amazing Grace here on Coast Access Radio. And that was the Gaither Vocal Band, and I just actually love the music that they sing. The harmony are so beautiful, the lyrics are so beautiful, and we'll probably hear a little bit more from them as well. I'm sure many of you will have heard of Bill Gaither and his group. A number of the people have changed over the years, but they always have such a wonderful harmony. Okay, friends, it's come time for the health tip of the week. And today I'm just going to be looking at the special nutrients needed for older people or for older adults. Now, you know, this is really important for everybody, to be honest with you. But when you're younger, you can get away with not eating so much good food. You know, you can get away with abusing your body to some degree. You know, many people have abused their bodies when they were younger and they start paying for it in their older age. But if you don't abuse your body too much, you can get away with it as you're younger. But as you get older, it becomes very much more difficult to do that. And so older adults need more calcium and vitamin D to help maintain bone health. Having three servings of calcium-rich foods and beverages each day. This includes fortified cereals and fruit juices, dark green leafy vegetables, canned fish with soft bones, although I would say don't eat too much canned fish. It's not good to eat too much canned food at all, but a small amount of canned fish with soft bones, especially what the fish that have the omega 3, you'll find that's very healthy. Fortified plant beverages. If you take a calcium supplement or a multivitamin, choose one that contains vitamin D. And here's another very important one, and it actually affects me too, vitamin B12. Many people older than 50 do not get enough vitamin B12. Fortified cereal, lean meat, and some fish and seafood are sources of B12. Ask your doctor or a registered dietitian if you need a vitamin B12 supplement, and I do, you can get tablets that you take daily. And I do take some of those, but I generally every 3 months I have a shot of B12, at the doctor's, and the nurse just gives that to me. I was fortunately, I had a good doctor a few years ago, and he picked up that my B12 was getting low. And, he just said, you know, that eventually it can lead to lots of issues, especially to do with the brain, if your B12 gets too low. So anyway, he helped me to get my B12 up, and we've been able to keep it up through tablets and injections. But, you know, I had an uncle who used to keep falling asleep all the time, and he became very dozy. Anyway, in fact, the people that worked with him used to call him Dozy Boy, because he was so dozy, especially in the afternoon. And that was because he was just deficient in B12. And when he started getting the B12, he was fine. He was as good as anybody else. He wasn't becoming dozy anymore. And so many people end up with health issues because they don't have a good doctor or medical people that help them to realize that they need a B12 vitamin source that's not just from the food. The other thing that can happen to people is the part in the gut where the body turns the food, as I just mentioned before, cereal, lean meat and fish, turns that into a B12 that our body can process. The part in our gut that does that sometimes doesn't work as very efficiently at all. So it's not good at actually processing that. And sometimes we do eat the food that's necessary, to get the B12, but we just don't get enough of it. So yeah, I would say to you, next time you get a blood test, make sure that your doctor checks out your B12 fiber. And I really can't say enough about fiber. It is perhaps one of the most important aspects. I mean, I know B12 is important because it can affect the way we think, but fiber, very few people eat much fiber, you know, and fiber comes in some amazing things. Almost all fruits have fiber. Apples, like, so for example, we need about 20 to 25 grams of fiber a day. And I think an apple gives you 4. So you're well on the way if you eat an apple a day. but also whole grains, breads, cereals, beans, and green beans, but also especially like kidney beans, chickpeas, and so on. and vegetables, obviously, have fiber. You see, the fiber is, when we eat the right amount of fiber, the fiber gets into the bloodstream, and it will knock any plaque off that's in the blood, and it keeps your it keeps your veins nice and clear and smooth on the inside. So, as I said, I think we need somewhere between 20 to 25 grams a day. And like I said, an apple has, I just know off the top of my head, an apple has 4. It's like for me, if I have 2 apples in a day, I will find that I will generally become very regular. And so I don't eat 2 apples, but I do definitely eat lots of fruit, you know, mandarins and oranges, banana, and of course apple and persimmons, and look at anything that's a lot of plums, a lot of, you know, there's so many things, that have fiber and it will really help your health as you get older. Making sure that we get enough, you know, look, to be honest with you, I just love down, I'd be happy just to have a fish and chips or a pie for every meal, you know, I love that, you know, my taste buds love that, but I know that that's not good for me, and I know that that will affect my health, and so I have that very occasionally, as a treat, as opposed to eating it regularly. Potassium is another important aspect, and I actually take a supplement. I take potassium and magnesium. which is interesting because before I did that, I used to get cramp quite a lot. I'd be in bed and wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning and have cramp, you know. But since I've been taking potassium and magnesium, I actually haven't had cramp. So obviously that does something to, that obviously has some effect, with, cramp. Remember there are good fats and bad fats. Good fats are things like, avocados. We want to really keep away from trans fats. They're the worst ones. They do the most damage. But eating polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats found in nuts, seeds, excuse me, avocados, olive oil, and fish. And those are the good fats. So not all fat is the same. Trans fats, the things that, you know, you cook fish and chips and those types of things, they are definitely the ones that you want to steer clear of, or certainly limit the amount, that you actually have.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, Lord, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, Lord, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and worn, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Welcome back to Amazing Grace here on Coast Access Radio. As we start the second part of our program, we want to look at what is faith. You know, many people might ask that because it has such a big bearing. We're saved by faith. So we need to understand what is faith. Well, probably the clearest word is trust. Trusting in somebody. Or trusting in something. I mean, you know, when we go home, we put the key into the car and turn it. We expect, we have faith that the engine's going to start. When we come home and we turn on the lights, we have faith that electricity is going to work and that we are going to be able to see where we're going. You know, there are so many things that we just take for granted in life, and we just believe, which is also another word that actually makes up faith. So faith really is made up of two words, which is trusting and believing. And so let's have a look at the story where Jesus meets with a woman from Canaan. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Jesus went and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. Have you ever been ignored? How did you like it? It's surprising that she stayed around. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us. She's bothering us. Why don't you get rid of her?" Jesus' first words, apparently going along with the disciples, were, "I am not sent unto the lost sheep. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him. Worshipped him? Do you worship the people who ignore you and say that they didn't come to help you? And she said, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, Is it not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs?" But this was the opening that she'd been looking for. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. If I am a dog, I am entitled to some dog food." Jesus must have had a twinkle in his eye during the whole conversation. She must have seen it. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Matthew 15:21-28. How do you define faith in this story? Taking God at his word? If she'd taken God at his word, she would have been gone long before he got to the dog's part. Do you define faith in terms of believing? Believing what Jesus said? You can't. It doesn't fit. Faith in her case was disbelieving what Jesus said. Faith was not taking him at his word. So you come to the definition of faith as Jesus used it. It is the real definition of faith, one word, trust. Faith is trusting God. The premise is that Jesus is completely trustworthy. If you don't believe that, then you don't know him yet. The person who is not quite sure that he can trust Jesus is the one who doesn't know him. Faith comes not to those who seek it, but to those who seek it not, who seek only to know Jesus. You see, friends, that's how faith comes. Faith comes not by seeking faith. Faith comes by seeking Jesus. And as we get to know him, we know that we can trust him. You know, there was a time when I was only new in the faith, and I went to visit a woman to sort of study the Bible with her, but really just to help her in her spiritual journey. Anyway, she was complaining about God, and you know, from what she'd said to me, I thought, "Oh, God's been pretty tough to you, hasn't he?" And I went away, I remember, after that, and complained to God about, you know, why are you so tough on her? You know, it seems like you've been unfair to her. You know, you don't treat me like that. You treat me fantastically. Why do you treat her like that? Well, first of all, she didn't really know God, and she certainly didn't trust him. But one of the things that I have learned over the years, that I didn't know then, after having a long relationship with God, is that I know that what she told me was actually can't have been completely true. Or if she told me it was said in a way that made her seem better and made God seem worse. Because you see, I know what God's like. I know that when he makes a promise, he will always keep it. And when I ask for God to help me, he does. And even on small things that most people wouldn't even ask God for help. But I'm actually upset with myself whenever I don't ask God to help me. You know, if there's something that needs to be accomplished, then I need to pray about it. I need to ask God to help me. And when I do, he always helps me, and things always turn out as they should. Maybe not the way that I think they're going to turn out, but turn out the way that God wants them to turn out. Friends, we need revival in our churches. We need to get to know God. You know, fellowship is great in a church, but fellowship will never completely fulfill. It's worship, it's trusting, it's getting to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our friend and being filled with the Spirit. And only when that happens will we learn to fully trust in Jesus.
Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Revive us again. Our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us slain, who have borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain.
Was the Bill Gaither Band again and Revive Us Again. Yeah, we really need reviving, friends. As we look in the world that we live in, we know that Jesus is coming soon, that this world is going to end one day soon. Friends, We need reviving. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with His presence. And we are filled with His presence as we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, as we confess the fact that we are sinners and that we cannot get to heaven by our own good works. We only get to heaven by the grace and goodness of God. Okay, I'm going to read a Bible verse from, it's in Matthew 19, verse 16, about a man who thought that he was good. "Behold, one came to him and said unto him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" And how many people think that? What good thing must I do to gain eternal life? Friends, salvation does not come by doing anything good. Salvation comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we do good things, not because we're trying to make our way to heaven, but because we're in such a loving relationship with Jesus and we trust Him so much and He does so much for us that we are grateful and thankful and we just want to serve Him. So this man here is a behaviorist and he had a lot to do and he had a lot of company. In John 6, a whole group came and said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you may believe on Him whom God has sent." Immediately transferring them from behavior to relationship. This man said, "What good thing shall I do?" And He said unto him, "Why call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Is Jesus shifting into behaviorism pattern himself? Jesus knew that nobody could keep the commandments in his own strength. He knew that we don't get to heaven by keeping the commandments. But that's what He said. "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." The rich young ruler asked, "Which?" "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal," and so on. And the young man said, "All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" There is a strong man, the behaviorist. He's a good liver. Wouldn't think of doing anything wrong. And then Jesus reveals what He was really after with this man. Jesus said unto him, "If you wilt be perfect, go and sell all thou hast and give it to the poor and come and follow me." Jesus didn't always come right to the point with people who were searching for the truth. In fact, He was pretty clever in His approach, not for the sake of cleverness, but because He had wisdom that came from His Father and His connection with His Father. "What shall I do to enter into life? Keep the commandments." "I have." "Oh yes, let me give you one more." He gave him one more, and the man hung his head and began kicking his toe in the dust. He was a strong, successful, external moral behaviorist, and he had nothing within him. He was helpless. Now that is the point to which each of us must come when we genuinely come to Christ. We have to admit that we're helpless to do anything of our own strength except give up on trying to do anything apart from Christ and come to Him just as we are. Friends, you know, there's so many people seeking knowledge, and knowledge is good, but we need to be seeking Jesus. That is the number one. Seek Jesus first, because you see, eternal life comes through seeking Jesus, by having a relationship with Him, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be able to understand what's happening in the world. Don't try to get knowledge and then a relationship with Jesus. Seek Jesus first and everything else will fall into place. It's like that verse in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said that if we put God's kingdom first, if we seek His kingdom first, then everything else will be added unto us. So we need to seek Jesus first. That is our first work. And when we do that, then when we do that, we will learn to trust in Jesus. And that's one of the issues that people really don't trust. It's seeking Jesus, and here's this beautiful verse about Jesus, and it's just one of my favorite ones about him. And so Jesus needs to be our Messiah. That's what he needs to be.
Might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah.
Yeah, what a beautiful song. You know, the whole Christian faith is about a relationship with Jesus. You know, the devil has got many people to look at this, to look at that, to do this and that. But friends, the whole Christian economy, the whole thing about being a Christian is having Christ. That's why it's called Christianity, because it's all about Christ. The church in Antioch, they used to say Christ did this and Christ did that, and so they called them Christians, because that's all they could talk about. Friends, what would you be called? What would you be called if you were called by what you talked about? A lot of people would be called sport or many other names. But friends, none of us are perfectly Christians. None of us have a perfect relationship with Jesus. But friends, don't look to other things. Look to Jesus, our Messiah. Seek him every day. Invite him into your life every day. He loves you. And he died for you. And he's coming back for you one day very soon. And he wants to know you. He wants to get to know you. But he's a gentleman. He won't force his way into your life. And you're going to ignore him for as long as you like. But the moment you turn to him, he won't say, oh, you've ignored me for 10 years or 20 years or however long. I have. He just put out his arms. And welcome you. Friends, I pray, excuse me, that you've been blessed by our program today. A program about how important it is to have a relationship with Jesus. This is the most important message that we can ever give. You know, I can give messages about what's going to happen before the world ends, before Jesus comes back, and while that stuff's important. You know, regardless if you know nothing, as long as you know Jesus, you will be saved. He will keep you safe. He will tell you what to do and when to do it. Friends, you don't have to work this all out yourself. It's not about being clever. It's about having a relationship with Jesus. Ask him into your life today is my prayer for each one of you. Let's just pray, friends. Father in heaven, I just pray for our listeners and their families, and I just pray that each person that has heard the message today will realize that salvation is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. To be filled with the Holy Spirit as we accept Jesus, as we repent from our past, from our sins, and as we invite Jesus afresh into our lives, I pray that each person will be so blessed that people will be able to see Jesus in their life. And so, Father, I just praise you and thank you for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and all the work that they do in our lives. For I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. From all of us here at Amazing Grace, we pray that you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amazing Grace on Coast Access Radio, 104.7 FM.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.